Welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles. Hosted by two friends who manage cemeteries in the Twin Cities, this podcast takes you behind the gates and into the unique world of cemeteries. Join us as we share heartfelt stories, unexpected humor, and the profound moments that come with a career dedicated to honoring life and legacy. Here are your hosts, Dominic Pierre and Bobby Schoenrock.
Bobby, number 27, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you doing?
Doing well. I'm making it. I'm surviving. Again, we're doing a impromptu remote session. I'm up at a lake again. Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
I put in the palm tree and the ocean in the background, so I look like I'm somewhere too.
On your Zoom call. Yeah, don't judge me that I'm not at work. I'm not at the office. This was a last second thing. We're getting our floors redone at our house because there was a little bit of a water damage done last fall due to a refrigerator that decided to leak all over. And so insurance company, and I found out just days ago that they're going to come in and redo the floors today, tomorrow, and Friday, kicking us out. And with a 19-month-old, we're not going to go sit in a hotel. So we came up to the lake. And here I am. Yeah, it's smart. I was expecting that you give me a little bit harder of a time about that, Bobby.
I get it. I would not expect you to stick around in a hotel with a 19-month-old.
I might commute on Friday. We're an hour away, so I might commute back down and work on Friday and come back up for the weekend. So tomorrow I'll have off, and had to do some things. Ran around the state a little bit today because we had to finalize some things for the Minnesota State Convention that's coming up in just over a month. So I was up at the location for that up in St. Cloud today, finalizing things for that, food choices and whatnot. Trust me, I think the food choices are going to be excellent this year. The food should be good. No random foods that no one knows what is on the plate. We may have had that issue last year.
May or may not have had that issue last year.
For one of the meals.
Yeah, where it was like, it was actually pretty good, but I just didn't know what I was eating.
that was the fun part. I think actually it became quite entertaining because I think everybody was asking each other what is this that's on our plate. And to be honest, I think we ordered the food and we didn't know what the heck was on our plate.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in agreement with you there.
So this year, I think there should be no surprises. It should be good and exciting. The facility looks absolutely gorgeous up in St. Cloud. Plenty of room to meander and stretch out and take notes, and I think that we're gonna have some staging and things like that. It's gonna be a good conference. I'm excited about it. So that was my day to day up in St. Cloud, just kind of prepping for the conference next month, which is kind of exciting.
When we went to view it, when we had lunch up there originally, when we made the decision to go with that, they've really done a nice job with that space, and they fixed up the hotel, the restaurant's fixed up. They got a huge patio for the restaurant. They got a huge patio for the banquet area over there. They've got two pools with a massive big screen TV for sports.
No, I think it's a total of five pools. They said two of them are hot tubs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So that place is real nice. I think it's going to be, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we definitely will. And Bobby, you couldn't make the trip today, and this was the day that we decided on food. So if there is any issues with food, it's all your fault. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, for sure. Some of us have to work, you know.
I was waiting for that. I was actually going to preemptively state that you know, you were back working while we, Carrie and I, were up there making those food decisions. But that's all right.
Somebody's got to do it, and I appreciate you two for doing it. I wish I could have gone with, but we've got some people on vacation, and we just got, like, super busy today, which is crazy. We got a pile of funerals tomorrow, funerals Friday. I think I've got five funerals Monday. I had
What happened? All of a sudden, the floodgates opened.
I had three people come in all, like, within 3 minutes of each other looking for property. Three different families. So I had to say, I'm taking this family out. I can take you out at 2 o'clock, and the other one, you're gonna have to come back tomorrow.
Why don't you just take all three families out at the same time? Just
Just
say, hey,
say
this is what we got.
paper, rock,
Yeah,
scissors, shoot. Yeah.
have them fight over it. Like if everybody liked the same lot, just say, okay, bidding war open now.
Yeah.
This is the starting price. Who wants to bid higher?
If it were only that easy, right? Yeah, I was out with the one family. I had to jet out early because I had to take my daughter to get her registration stuff for school tonight.
What? So
And
you didn't work the full day?
no, I
Stop
left
me.
at like 3:20. Oh, I pulled
Unbelievable.
a union hours.
You mean not union as in making fun of folks who are part of a union, but union as in union cemetery hours? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I wasn't there today, so I don't know. Maybe they did leave early.
Yeah. So
Oh.
it was a weird day today. Weird phone calls. Like we had a lady call wanting to do a cremation burial at like 5:30 tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night. So
Yeah,
what's the
and
latest? You guys do cremation or do any
so
burials?
we say for a full burial, the lid has to be on by 3:30. For a cremation or a niche, we have to start our job by 4 o'clock. Just so the guys can get out on time. Like I don't, if we start our job by 4 o'clock for a cremation or for a niche, a cremation in the ground or for a niche, we should be able to get out of there by 4:30, no problem. But the full burial, we say 3:30. So that gives us more to, close up, lower the casket, close the vault lid, put the dirt on, clean up the boards, and then get back and unload everything. So,
Have you ever made exceptions to that?
no, never. Well, the exception is you're paying overtime.
Yeah, but if somebody, but you aren't going to allow somebody to come in and say, I want to do a 5 o'clock and I'll pay the overtime.
We have.
You've done that. Okay.
First question asked is anybody willing to stay late? We got to make sure, because if people aren't going to be able to stay late, then you can't do it, right? But I've done the latest funeral I've taken was 6 o'clock, and they were in and out. Like came in, and they had a dinner before they came in. They brought the casket up. They said a few prayers, and they were gone by 6:12. It was really quick, but then all of a sudden it was like the fall time, and so it started to get a little darker earlier. So by the time you lower it down, you put the cover on, we start filling in, all of a sudden it's like dusk. And so then you gotta pop some lights on to see what we're doing. It's a little interesting. And then we've had where, ones like where, I know you've had these before where, they show up, they're a little late. And then they stay and they're there for 2 hours. So all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's 5:15, and you're just getting started on your job. And we've had a couple of those in late fall. And again, we got headlights from a vehicle and the back lights on the tractor to fill it in. So.
Isn't it crazy? I get you. Yeah, last week we had to attend a funeral. It was my wife's uncle who passed away. He was in his 80s and he was buried at Fort Snelling, our local military federal
National
military
Cemetery.
cemetery, National Cemetery. And it's always an honor. It's always fun to go out to Fort Snelling for a funeral. But my goodness, so I think the funeral was at 1:30 at Fort Snelling. We were a little late. We were like there at 1:35, and I'll tell you what, they are prompt. I mean, we had the service, they said the prayers, and immediately after the prayers were done, the gentleman from Fort Snelling stepped up and said, thank you. Your time here is over. Your allotted time here is over. We have another funeral waiting. Please go to your cars and exit the cemetery. It was immediately. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, this is really, I mean, he's military-esque. He's a military
Yeah.
guy, and he says
Yeah.
it in that authoritative voice. But it's like, wow, I could never get away with this. But also, I'm not giving a free burial either.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, what do they do? 15, 20 burials a day?
Something like that.
Yeah.
which is it's crazy. And this was in their new column, or not new, but in a columbarium. This is where that funeral was, and that's pretty impressive. It's really nice out there. It's an impressive place to go to.
Sure, yeah, for sure, 100%. I've been out there before, and we have a soldier section, and we try to keep our graves straight, but you go out there and there isn't one that's crooked.
Well, it was amazing. Yeah. Not only that, watching the crews work, one of the sections by us that they had about four or five like gators out there, John Deere gators with tanks of water and pressure washers, and they're pressure washing all the monuments up and down the rows. It was just incredible watching this operation. And I can't imagine having our staff go out there and wash all the monuments in our cemetery either. That's crazy to think about. Do you guys get out there and wash the monuments?
We do. Yeah, we hook up our water tank and bring our pressure washer around, and we pressure wash some monuments. A lot of the old ones, that special care stuff.
Yeah, but not like just blanket wash
No.
everything. Yeah.
I did the soldiers, was it last year or the year before? I had the pressure washer out, and then I went over right before Memorial Day and just did all the soldiers real quick.
Yeah.
And again, just more of like up top sides, but next one up top around, like real fast. Not, we didn't put anything on them or anything, just kind of pressure wash, kind of clean them up a little bit.
Now, this is a good. I'm interested in this because I'm a part of some Facebook groups for like restoration care for monuments. Now, I know that these groups tend to be more on the, let's describe it like the find a grave peep folks who come into our offices and want to do things. These folks aren't necessarily in the field of monument care, or they don't sandblast monuments, they don't work in cemeteries. They're volunteers who like to come in and maintain monuments and markers. And these are the Facebook groups that I'm a part of. So take it in that light and with that perspective. But a lot of these folks on there swear up and down that the last thing you should ever do to a monument is take a pressure washer to it. It ruins the monument. And now, coming from a guy who works at a monument company, has worked with stone your whole life, you're saying that you do pressure wash your monuments.
Yeah, so what they're talking about is it doesn't ruin. It depends on if it's granite or if it's marble, right? Like we're not pressure washing sandstone or marble. We had a guy who wanted us to pressure wash his sandstone monument, and we had him sign a piece of paper basically saying that if we ruin it, we will not take
You're not
responsibility.
taking responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah, and so with what they're probably talking about, and what a lot of this stuff, like these cleaners and stuff, do is they open up the pores of the granite.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it looks clean for, a period of time, but it can get dirty quicker, in my opinion,
Yeah.
too. But like, a lot of the stuff that we're pressure washing is stuff from the trees that get on there.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
it needs to get cleaned off.
Yeah, yeah,
What
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
especially if the thing's polished and stuff, like you're not doing any damage to it,
Yeah, yeah.
and again, like running a pressure washer, you're opening up some pores on it, but especially unless the monument's a couple hundred years old or 150 years old, you're really not going to do any damage to it.
Yeah. And the one thing that I learned on these Facebook groups, they swear up and down, basically, when anybody has any question about cleaning a monument, the one answer you're going to get about everything, and it's almost like it's an infomercial for it, is like the biologics, the D2, or you spray something on and it kills mold or any algae that grows on it, and that's all they want you to do. Spray it on, wait a few weeks, spray it on again, and it's going to take several months, but it'll clean the monument eventually. What do you say about those things?
Yeah, I mean, from what I was told with a lot of that stuff is once you put it on, you need to scrub it off or wash
Oh,
it off,
so you don't
right?
let it
Like you
sit.
don't want it sitting too long. Some of the stuff is meant to sit, right? But if you look at like if you go up and just like YouTube, like clean my monument and wash some of that stuff, like some of the stuff, depending upon what you have, there's stuff that has like an acetone or an acid in it. And you leave that stuff on there and you can stain that granite. You got to get that stuff off. So I guess it really just depends on what you're using. That D2 stuff's pretty good stuff. But again,
Not
that's
cheap though.
That's the slow process, right? That's the like you said, a couple month process where you're constantly doing it. Where like Newstone is a brand that we've used in the past. Obviously we used to have the old blue bucket that was like 100 years old that had like this acid stuff in there that you used to wear rubber gloves and that stuff would get anything out of granite. But we barely had any of it left from, 50 years ago or wherever it was from.
They don't sell it anymore.
They make some new stuff that I really want to try, and I keep seeing it everywhere. And I think it's called 11, and I keep seeing like commercials for it, and we get emails for it, and I
Oh, you
want to
know what? I
try
see
it.
it on my Facebook pages too.
Yeah, I want to try it because it's supposed to be like non-harmful to the environment. It's supposed to do the same thing that like the New Stone does or some of the other products do, where it kind of like protects and eats away at the grime and the dirt and stuff like that. Well, what do you guys do when, because you don't you get some brown stuff on yours when you water and stuff?
So we have rust in our water at times. So if we so what we try to do is we'll try to go up there and just scrub it with Dawn dish soap or something, a mild detergent, if we can get that off. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Now, if it doesn't, what we will do, and this is in cases where we can't get anything else to work, we will spray on a little muriatic acid, but immediately, I mean immediately wash that stuff off. But they'll take that, it takes that rust off like that. It's incredible.
And the only
There's
downfall
all
with that stuff is that it can do so much damage to everything around it too,
yes. So I
That's
mean,
why
we're
you have
like,
to wet it down right away.
you're exactly right. You flood it out. So you wash off that stone and flood out the area around it so that you dissolve all that muriatic acid, that it doesn't kill the plants and everything around it. But if you want to get rust off Maya, you can definitely, you'll see the rust turn green and just ooze right off the monument. It's
Yeah, it's
incredible.
pretty wild.
Dude, we're going to get emails from this conversation, I guarantee it, with all these people telling
Yeah,
us that we're idiots for what we're doing.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, everybody has their own process in their own way, like, and is the way that you do it or I do it perfect? Absolutely not. But that's how we were taught, and that's what we have, and so that's what we do.
No, exactly. So yeah, we do have rust in our water, and that's due to our irrigation. And we have two wells at our cemetery. One is a deeper well with a bigger pump, and that's the one that just pumps rust throughout our system no matter what. So we rarely turn that well on now. We used
I
to turn it
will.
on. What's
This
that?
morning I drove by early because I had some big, huge branches in my yard. So I brought the work truck home to bring some branches down. And I drove by and the sprinklers were on this morning at 7:15, 7:30.
Yep, so we have some sections with irrigation, automatic irrigation, and we try to have those go on at night. That section that's right off the road there, that goes on a couple of days a week, and it's right around 7:30, so guaranteed you saw that.
Yeah, I didn't
There's
see any vehicles or any lights on in the office.
No, see, I automated everything. That's the thing. So we are installing irrigation in the cemetery slowly, to certain sections, and we have what's called two wire system. So I have a main controller up by our pump house for the irrigation, and we've run the two wire system from the back of the cemetery all the way to the front of the cemetery. And you just need to splice into it whenever you add something new. So it sends a code through these just two wires, and it sends a code to the sprinkler system to turn on a valve or turn off a valve. And then the main controller back at our pump house is hooked up, because I have internet up there, hooked up to the internet, so I can automatically turn on sprinklers via my cell phone or iPads, and it can watch the weather. If it's raining, it won't turn on, and or we can
Nice.
monitor it. If it's wet, we can just say, skip this week, don't turn on any of the systems or turn on certain systems. Or if we have a funeral in one area, we can, we need the sod to get some extra water, we can make sure that that zone gets turned on. Like I said, we're slowly putting this in. We have a few sections with it on, but we're getting there. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a nice option to have. I mean, I've talked about this. I mean, we're pumping out a couple hundred gallons about every hour and a half, 2 hours of water to all of our new grass that we planted and flowers and
Yeah, and imagine not having to have somebody go out there and manually turn those things on. You can just do it by a flick of a switch. It saves time. That's the biggest thing. I mean, obviously it's time consuming putting that stuff in. There's no question, but we put it in when we have downtime. If there's downtime, we get the guys out there and we start running some lines. And like I said, it's been a couple of years since we put in more lines because we've been so busy with other things right now. We don't have time to do it. Usually it's in the fall. We get some downtime and we can get out there and maybe work on a section or two and get some automatic sprinkler line. It's kind of a fun skill. We've learned how to hook it all up and work with our local contractors. They like Site One is one for us that's local, and those guys have been great to us to teach us how to. They love teaching us how to work everything. And because
Sure.
we the thing is, I find when I go into especially contractors or guys who sell these things, if you go in there and say, "Hey, I run a cemetery. We're a jack of all trades. I don't know anything about this, so you're gonna teach me." They love it. They're like, "Oh yeah, I love it." It's because they hate the guys that come in and they're irrigation specialists and they think that they know everything, so they don't utilize these guys' knowledge, so they come in and
Yeah.
tell them how stupid they are. I'm coming and going, "I'm the idiot. You need to tell me what I need to
I know I laugh sometimes when we're working on our water lines and I go in, I'm like, I need one of these things. Here's a pitcher. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. The guy starts laughing. I go, I'm
Yeah.
no expert, so you tell me what it's called and I'll remember for the next time.
Yeah, I love utilizing our vendors like that. Even our seed guy, we use Reinders up in the mid or for us for getting some grass seed and whatnot. And our rep, he comes out to the cemetery. He loves us. We're a nothing account for him. You know what I mean? He's not making much
Yeah.
money on us at all. But the thing is, he can sit down with our guys and just spread his knowledge of this is what I think you guys should do for your application. Because he can't do that with anybody else, because everybody that comes to him is a know-it-all and they don't need his
Sure.
knowledge. We're like, "We don't know anything. We need you help us, please." And he's like, "I love it." So it's kind of fun. So I think we utilize our vendors to our the complete and utter the most we possibly can. So it's good to get that free knowledge from
That's good.
them. So it's kind of fun. So your week has been busy all of a sudden. So what happened with the funerals that they all of a sudden started kicking up?
Well, I don't know. We got a bunch now. We're gonna have like probably, what do we have? 7 funerals in the next 3 days. We're
Wow.
looking Thursday, Friday, Monday.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's gonna be busy.
Yeah. So, and you're down some folks. So you're out there working hard.
Yeah. It was I was out most of the day today, running around. We had a tree removed that was really dead for a funeral coming up in a few weeks.
Okay.
So they were doing that today, and yeah, just go, getting water out and digging graves and all the good stuff.
That is, it's fun. It's fun. We got our, I know we were chatting about the water leak we had last week. We got that all fixed. It was a 4-inch line that we had to get
I don't know.
fixed.
I'm still waiting for it to pop.
We told you it popped immediately. So we went
I
too
know.
quick and it popped. And then we waited, and I'll tell you, that thing is secure. That's probably, to be honest, it's probably the most secure 15 feet of line in the whole cemetery right now.
We'll see. I'm gonna run it over and see what happens.
To be honest, I think you're good. We made sure that there was sand packed underneath everything and it was all perfect. So I think even if it got ran over, to be honest, it's 3.5, 4 feet in the ground too. So it's kind of surprising that if somebody ran over and still made it leak, but I think that's what happened. To be honest, they used to probably have pinholes in there, which relieve pressure. And now there's no pinholes. We'll probably pop up leaks at other places in the cemetery because it's so much pressure now in the cemetery. But it's
Yep.
nice to have that all fixed.
Just what you need, right?
Exactly. But speaking of the cemetery, mapping, it's a big thing. We're gonna have Brandon from Sims on in, I think he's coming Not next week, but the week after, I think he's coming up. I think
Yeah.
maybe it actually is next week.
Actually, I think it is. Isn't it the 22nd or something or 23rd?
It might be next week. We'll have to check that out. But Brandon from
Yeah.
Sims is going to be on the program, which I'm super jacked about. I'm excited to pick Brandon's brain about technology and what's going on in the cemetery industry. But I'll tell you what, Sims cemetery software is one of the best things that ever happened to our cemetery, and just makes the ease of mapping and finding where burials are just so easy. And also just to stop errors and have no mis you know just to stop it, so not having any mistakes where burials are, being able to know where markers are, where cornerstones are, where the burial should be, where cremation should be. Everybody's on the same page because everything is mapped out to so when we input a burial, we input the burial on the map exactly where the cremation we think the where cremation burial should be. The guys get to see that. They see exactly on the map where the cremation burial is and complete that task. So we're all on the same page. It makes life so much easier when we have to go back and figure out, where burials are if we ever have to do a disinterment in the future, which we'll probably chat about after the break here. And just the whole GIS mapping and information that Brandon has created with Sims is incredible. So if anybody has any questions about Sims or wants to learn more, go to simscemeterysoftware.com.
Yes, and we also have our other big member here, the Paradise Pictures Group. Again, Paradise Pictures, high fired steel, porcelain
On steel,
on
yeah.
steel, 1240 degrees. We
It's like
talked
the
about
surface of the sun.
this with Scott, and he said the same thing. If we can't fade it out at 1240 degrees, I don't think anything else is going to fade it out at
Yes.
Paradise Pictures. Again, unbelievable company to work with. We've been working this week a little bit with a family that they just aren't happy with the proofs they're getting back, and I'm not sure why. They kind of want Paradise to like make the picture look different than what the original is, which isn't
Oh, well,
an easy
that
task. And
no.
so, but they made some adjustments somehow to make it how they wanted it. And it worked, and they're really happy now. But it really doesn't look like the picture.
Unbelievable.
It doesn't look like the picture that they sent. But the adjustments worked, and the family's happy now. And so that's exactly what we were looking for. And again, working with them, they're so great. Another one, we sent in a photo, not the best photo in the world. They said, we're going to send you two proofs on this. Double check it to make sure it looks good before we go ahead.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of company they are. And again, you visit paradisepictures.com. And again, they're a proud member of the MAC. And just for listening to this spectacular podcast, they will do your
Isn't
first job for
that
free.
amazing? Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Paradise Pictures.
No, we cannot.
But kind of getting back into it and kind of going over what we were chatting about last week, we were chatting about the updating titles into the rightful owner's name in your cemetery and how important that is. And we kind of wanted to go over some other legal aspects of the cemetery industry. Just kind of some, as the Secretary Treasurer of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, I get emails from around the state. I know I've mentioned about this. On the podcast before, but just to bring some of these questions to the podcast here and kind of have Bobby's take and my take on it so that maybe some folks, if they have these questions, can kind of get them answered here. One of the things that I've gotten a couple times, and I know you're experiencing this, and we chatted about this a little bit, but doing a disinterment without a vault. I know you had this issue with a mausoleum above ground, and obviously the casket's not in a vault, and you want to move it to a different cemetery. Getting questions about green burials, or this in this case might be Jewish burials. doing a disinterment when there wasn't a vault. Even if the burial was 6, 7 years ago, it's just a casket in the ground. Everybody, family, funeral home, are pushing that you should be able to do this disinterment. But my perspective on this and what I would recommend families or cemeteries to do, you're liable if you open up that grave and that casket all of a sudden is exposing the body. Now, Minnesota state law explicitly states that you need to get a disinterment paperwork, disinterment, reinterment paperwork, if that body is being taken out of your cemetery and moved to another cemetery. Now, if it's being taken out of your cemetery or moved from one spot in your cemetery to another spot in your cemetery, you don't have to technically get disinterment, reinterment paperwork with the state. However, you do need affidavits signed by the lot owner, next of kin, on record stating that they're all right with this being moved. However, the one caveat that it states is that if you open up a casket, you need to have a court order. You cannot just move that casket. Now, that's where the argument comes into play that if there's no vault, you don't know what you're getting into when you're going to disinter this casket. That casket most likely has degraded in some fashion, form. And when you move that casket, it's the likelihood of you exposing that body is pretty high. And
Yeah,
even if,
I mean.
and I think you're just exposing your cemetery to incredible amounts of liability. And when you don't have to, I understand that there's a lot of pressure, families, funeral homes, everybody wants this done. However, they want it done at the expense of your liability. If things go wrong, people are going to come after you. And it just makes life so much easier when you say, nope, we're not doing this unless I have a court order in front of me stating that you're going to do this. I don't know what your take on that is, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I need someone to tell me, hey, the court has ruled that, you're able to open this casket or move this casket. I talked a little bit about we did some disinterments for the BCA and everything was court ordered. They brought us all the paperwork. There were some unknown people that we disinterred. But they had to open the casket. And so, as soon as there's any of that stuff, like you said, if it's in a vault and you're just moving the vault from one spot to another spot, that's a different story. But as soon as
Yeah.
you're opening up that vault, you got to have a court order, in my opinion. That's how I take the statues.
Yeah, because you just don't know what you're opening it. I mean, I think there could be an argument. Obviously, you need to take this with the caveat that I'm not a lawyer, but I think you could take the argument and state that, if you're moving a casket and the body's inside a casket, you can move that from one location to another in your cemetery with no problem. However, without exposing the body, however, how can you guarantee that that casket is not going to expose the body, especially when it's been sitting in the ground or sitting in a mausoleum crypt and possibly the body fluids, things like that? You know what happens to wood. You know what happens to cloth-covered caskets, to metal caskets. They rot out over time.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that the bottom's not going to give out on that casket now exposing the body, or that it already has decayed to a point where the body is exposed. How can you guarantee that?
Yeah, and you can't. I mean, we don't have X-ray vision to look in and see. So you just can't, you can't make the guarantee and you're to protect yourself, to protect your cemetery, protect your workers. You have to have a court order. That's how I see it.
No, exactly. I agree with you 100%. Another question that I've been getting, Bobby, and you probably have some good insight into this, is type. I got actually two different questions about this. What are good types of tractors to get? Some cemeteries are looking at getting some new equipment, replacing very old equipment. And asking just recommendations from what other cemeteries have for tractors. And my response to them was that this is really every cemetery is going to give you a different opinion on this. It's really a personal choice. And to be honest, it's one of those questions that if you were to ask one cemetery versus another, there's going to be some passionate responses to it too, like, no, my way is the best. This is the backhoe. This is the tractor that you need for digging graves. And so I said, it's up to you. Personally, we have a backhoe, and what I've heard from other cemeteries, which we don't have, which I think is something that we'd love to have, is the extend-a-boom on a backhoe. I think is a must if you're going to go down the backhoe route. However, if I were to get something new right now, I don't know if I'd necessarily go down the backhoe route. I think I'd go with like a little track thing that can get into sections a lot easier and not do as much damage because there's not as much weight. However, when you do that, my personally, you're losing some of the leverage that you can have with a backhoe. So if you run into a big boulder and things like that, you're not going to be able to get those out like you can with a backhoe. Let's hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so we, in 2000, probably like 18, 19, maybe 20, we purchased our third backhoe since they bought their first one back in the 60s. And so we're only on our third backhoe loader, I should say. And we went with a New Holland, which is a takeoff of the Ford backhoe as well. And we had a lot of luck with that, but New Holland is very expensive. We paid a lot of money for one that was 6 years old already. Some farmer had it, used it for just pulling boulders out. It's been great for us. A lot of power. We got the extend a hoe, we've got heat, air conditioning, radio, got almost like two joysticks, so it's like you're playing a video game. The whole back window comes up, so it's nice.
So you're telling me, you give me a hard time because I sit in an office that I'm sitting there doing, in the air conditioning. What you're doing the same thing. You're sitting in an air conditioned office yourself.
Well, here's the thing.
Oh yeah.
We don't really turn the air on because you're not moving when you're in the backhoe. And
Yep.
so the air is just kind of worthless when the tractor's
Yeah.
just parked there. I mean,
Let's
it'll
be
take.
honest. You need to have the windows open so you can yell at your guys.
Yeah, that too, that too. But I mean, you can throw it on to take a little bit of the, humidity out maybe. But you've got the whole back window open so you can see more and see better. So it's kind of a waste, really. Like I can honestly say, I think it's been on once all summer.
Yeah, the back window or the air conditioning.
Air conditioning, yeah. Obviously,
And
the
you
heat.
still don't put the back window up.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's I we put that back windows up every time we dig or fill something in, so it's having that air on, you're just kind of cooling the outside air,
Yeah. Our backhoe, we don't have air conditioning in it. And the only time that we ever had the back window all the way slid up was in the winter. I was digging a grave in the winter. Hopefully my staff isn't listening to this. And I took the back window up because I had the heat on full blast. It was so cold. I was like, I'm shutting this window because I want to get the full effects of the heat. Ground as hard as can be. We didn't burn through all the frost all the way. So I'm hammering away at the grave with the backhoe. We need to get this grave dug. And I lifted up the so I had the I was hitting it with the backhoe, lifted up the back end of the tractor, took the pads off the ground, and all of a sudden the grave let loose and I went slamming down, like you do in the winter, and one of those back-breaking slams, and the back window broke. So we don't have a back window anymore on our tractor. And I
Like
think
it.
my guy, I wasn't, I think most of the employees there weren't around when that happened. So I don't even think they realized that there should be a back window. So that's why I'm hoping that my guys don't listen to this because there should be a back window on our tractor. It's due to me that we don't have
That's good.
it.
I like that. Yeah,
Also
I mean,
proving that I get out there and work, Bobby.
yeah. I'm with you. So it's getting harder and harder to find backhoe loaders because construction companies are buying track excavators for their excavating stuff, because they can use it there, and then they can bring in a bobcat for anything else they need. And they're just The track excavator is easier to get around. You know, they can throw it on a trailer. Like for us at a cemetery, you know, we like to drive the tractor wherever we're going, right? You know, we
That's
don't want to throw
exactly.
it
It's
on a
going to take you
trailer.
forever with the track.
Yeah. And so when we dig our foundations, we use a mini excavator. And with it's just not a ton of power, just a 12-inch bucket on it. And they are nice, but you know, I would venture to say it might be tough. Like in the wintertime, if you're trying to bang through some frost, if you don't have a big enough excavator, and then you know, you lose your stabilizers that you have for you know, backhoe loader and stuff. So there's pros and cons both ways. I think an excavator, if you buy a mid-size one, is probably going to be cheaper than a backhoe loader, unless you buy a inexpensive brand. I know, like I said, the New Holland one we had, we spent a lot of money on that, and it was, you know, 6 years old. It was a 2014, so it was, you know, 6, 7 years old when we bought it. Didn't have a lot of hours on it, but it was older when we bought it. And so the last one we had, we bought in 1990 and used it till, you know, 2020. So you know, we got 30 years out of that, and they had 30 years out of the one before that. So,
Yeah, we bought ours in 2000, still working on it, so we got 25 years on it, so maybe we have 5 more years until we got to look at a new one.
yeah. I mean, you need to spoil those guys and get them air conditioning and radio and everything, you know.
Well, now that I'm not out there, we don't need all that stuff. If I was working out there, yeah, maybe. But nah, we don't. No, again, I hope my guys aren't listening.
That's such a tough question though, because it's like, you know, you can spend $100,000 or you can spend $50,000, you know, and still get the equipment to do the job, but it may not be as heavy duty, but it's going to be probably good enough to what you need. So, I mean, there's such a, you know, to say one brand or another brand is different or better, it just really depends on what you're used to, you
Oh,
know.
absolutely. And then there's guys who probably listen to us who are the guys who all they do is dig graves at small cemeteries all around their area. They probably have 10, 15 contracts, and they just dig graves, and they're loading it on the back of a trailer. And if that's the case, you got to go with a track excavator or something like that. The
Yeah.
one concern I have in And you know it. You tell me how many times this happened to you, but you're digging a grave and you run into a boulder that's absolutely enormous. I mean, it happens so infrequently, but it happens. And what happens is you're digging this grave the day before, or even the morning of, and you need that boulder out now.
Yeah.
I guess my thought is, if you ever went down that road and you didn't have the power because you have a smaller tractor that you're using, you got to run to the rental place and get a jackhammer or something. You got to
Yeah.
bust up that boulder and get it out. That's not fun. But I think about that, on how that would be something that made me a little bit nervous, having a smaller tractor.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, you know, you were talking about the stabilizers or the outriggers that go down to stabilize yourself. When you're pulling frost, you need those. You know, we're going to run into it here, but we've pulled out stumps, you know, in grain. And not easy if you don't have that stuff.
No, you're exactly right. And then you're getting down there in the hole with a chainsaw and trying to cut out roots if you can and
Oh.
try to loosen it up. Yeah, talk about that blade, your chainsaw blades. That's an enemy to the chainsaw blades, trying to cut out roots with dirt and everything that,
Yeah.
but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, right? You know, there's been those surprises, you know, where you know, I mean, I've been there, you know, working 98, 99, so, you know, 25, 26 years, and there are some graves that you go up to dig, and all of a sudden you're like, where'd this tree stump come from?
Yeah, I
You know, I've
know.
been here, and there was never a tree here, and you got a tree stump in the middle of the grave, and you're going, well, now
Never
what?
rotted
You know,
away.
luckily you went up there the day before, and instead of, you know, leaving at 4:30, you're leaving at 6 o'clock because you just had to pull a stump out.
Yeah, no, exactly. Let's talk about the extend a hole a bit. So we don't have that in ours. We got the tractor in 2000, didn't get it. But all I hear from folks is that's a game changer. So tell me why that's a game changer.
Well, like for us, when we leave dirt piles and we do a lot of the burials where families want to stay and watch everything done, and you don't have to be on top of the grave to fill it in.
Yeah,
You
to
can be
pull in that
you can
dirt.
sit back further, or if you had a grave that caved in and your dirt pile's hanging a little further back. You just pop that extend a hoe out and it is nice. I mean, to not have to be right on top of the grave and to give everybody a little space that's, working in the grave with the tamper and shoveling the dirt around. It's the only way to go. Now, when we do like our lawn crypts, if you're sitting too far away and you try to use the extend a hoe, it struggles to pull up that vault cover.
Okay.
Because the further you go out, the less power you have.
Yep.
So that's the downside of it. So you have to be, smart in where you sit and stuff like that.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
they are nice. I mean, we don't use it every time or even probably use it 30% of the time, but to have it 30% of the time is better to not have it.
No, exactly. And also, do you use it when you're digging graves at all?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
So is it does it help you when you're curving in and trying to get that area that's closest to you down? That's where I can imagine that would be helpful.
Yeah, and that's another way. Like if you roll up and you're on an area where you got some flat stones and you have to sit further back, then you just
Yeah.
pop that extend a hole out and you can dig the grave from, way further back than you ever could if you didn't have it.
Or placing dirt on the back of a truck in spots that you can just dump it
Yeah.
into corners that there's no dirt. Yeah, I can see where that could be very helpful. The other question I have for you, did you get hydraulics at the end of your boom to put attachments onto your backhoe?
We did not. You can, there's a spot
Yeah.
for them to get on there. We don't have them. He didn't have them. For us, we don't see a need for it at all. I
Yeah.
know a couple cemeteries in the Twin Cities, some of the bigger cemeteries have backhoes that just have tampers on them.
Oh,
Not
really?
a bucket, it's just a tamper. Or
Yeah,
even
yeah, yeah.
A claw for, doing that, or a jackhammer for
Yeah.
if they don't heat the ground. So,
Well, you got to have a pretty big operation to have specific tractors for those things.
yeah, so we, who I'm talking about, but so,
Oh,
but it really depends, like all that stuff costs money. And
absolutely.
you and I both know that in this business, if you can save money and not have to buy all that extra stuff,
Yep.
You're going to do that. So,
Yep. We don't have hydraulics at the end of ours, but there's times where you think, oh, it'd be nice to be able to jackhammer through something, which is, I don't, we never really jackhammer through anything. But you think in the back of your head, like, it could, or the tamper, that would be kind of a nice thing.
yeah.
But we have those powered tampers now, and I think they do an excellent job.
Yeah.
We don't have too much issues with those.
Yeah,
And you're not,
your guy was giving us crap because we've got a two cycle, and he said it's not as powerful as your four cycle. So,
and what's your response to
ours starts in the wintertime on one pole.
that? Yeah, that is a, well, I don't know if you need any more power though. The two cycle works out pretty well.
Yeah,
To be
no,
honest,
and
what?
we switched when we bought a new one, and it is, I mean, you fire that baby up and it's ready to go right away, and
Yeah.
the old four cycle, we used to have to, if it was really cold, we'd fire it up down at the shop and let it warm up and
Yeah, yeah.
get everything ready, then you'd shut it off as soon as you got up there and then fire it up 5 minutes before you were going to do it, and
Well,
so
that's absolutely. We do leave it in our heated garage in the winter so it never gets cold. And then when you're up at the funeral, especially when family's watching, You're firing that thing up immediately. You're letting it idle. You're, filling in the sides of the graves, whatnot. And then when you finally get, it's sitting there for 5, 6 minutes just running idle, so that when you go, she'll go. Otherwise, she'll die immediately. You're exactly right.
And that was our biggest issue with our forest cycle that we had. And again, ours was older at the time, but it was just so cold-blooded, like you
Oh,
would
you're
have to
right.
let that baby warm up and warm up. And with this two cycle that we have now, it seems like you just fire it up and it's just ready to go right away.
And these are issues that we have in cold weather states like Minnesota. You're in a warm weather state, you don't have these issues. There's a lot of issues I don't think that you'd have to deal with in warm weather states that we have to deal with. That's why it'd be great to get somebody on here from a warm weather state, because I'm sure there's issues that we don't deal with that they're dealing with, and I'm just not aware of them. I just feel that there's more that we're working with. Who knows? But it's always fun. I don't mean to cut this podcast short, but us doing it by Zoom, we're probably, I don't know if we're fading in and out here, but it'd probably be good if we end this. You got any final thoughts for this podcast this week?
No, I mean, I think it was another good one, informative. It's good to answer some questions that you get, on here and talk about them so then
Yeah.
people can send some of their responses too. And so we're fortunate we're able to jump on here. Well, you had to get out of your house and head out of town.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate that the Zoom works for us here. So yeah.
Well, thanks for, I love the background. You're trying to make me jealous. It looks like you're down in Florida with your background.
Yeah.
And
Not
I'm
at
in
my
just in
kitchen
a
table, I swear.
and I'm in a dark garage, but I got a lake behind me, so that's good life right now. So good. Yeah, so please, if you guys have questions or comments who are listening, we thank you for listening. Please email us at info@thecemeterychronicles.com. We love hearing from you. We love to try to answer any questions. Not well, just give you our insight on the things. We know that we're not
We
perfect.
probably aren't answering the questions.
Well, you get my perspective, and then you get the right perspective through Bobby, right? That's
Oh, yeah.
how it works.
I wish that was the case.
We're slowly every week we're like writing another chapter to the book of how to run a cemetery. So
Yep,
we'll just get
exactly.
it. We'll just have AI. We'll give it the ChatGPT, and they'll just dictate everything we're saying and write it into a book. I think
Yeah.
that's the way to go.
I'm
So
just worried no one will ever read
you're
that
probably right, but hey, you know how fun would it be to say we wrote
Yeah, exactly.
a book? So again, thank you all for listening. The info@thecemeterychronicles.com. Shoot us an email. Any comments, concerns, questions, thoughts. We love hearing from you. Anything else I'm missing? Like us on Facebook. We need to get back to posting a little bit more on Facebook. We'll get there.
Yeah, it's been we've been busy. I mean,
That's
summertime,
it.
it's our busy time, so.
You're exactly right. Well, the thing is, I say that about every time of the year, well, I guess winter does slow down for sure. But yeah, you're right. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it. But it's good. It keeps life busy, and also you're also dealing with everybody going on vacation now too. Like myself, here I am not at work, so that's always tough. But all right, we'll survive. We'll see you next week, Bobby. I
Sounds
hope you have
good.
a good one. And everybody, thank you so much. Have a good night, a good evening, good week.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast so you are notified when new shows are posted. If you would like to get a hold of us, please email us at info@thecemeterychronicles.com.
When it comes to honoring a life well lived, every detail matters. That's why Paradise Pictures has been crafting premium fired porcelain on steel portraits since 1991, built to last a lifetime and guaranteed against any damage. Whether it's monuments, markers, crypts, or glass front niches, Paradise offers a full suite of personalized memorialization solutions, including elegant bronze frames. As a proud member of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, they believe samples sell products, so they are offering you a free sample just for listening to us. Visit ParadisePictures.com or call 800-960-8040 to request yours today. Paradise Pictures, preserving memorials. memories beautifully.
Managing a cemetery comes with a lot of responsibilities, but with Sims, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. Sims Cemetery software helps you keep track of burial records, maps, and maintenance tasks all in one secure, easy-to-use system. With intuitive mapping, secure record keeping, and cloud-based access, Sims makes organization simple. Ready to see how Sims can make you streamline your cemetery operations? Visit SimsCemeterySoftware.com to learn more. Also, if you mention that you heard about us on the Cemetery Chronicles podcast, Sims will give you a 10% discount on a new software license.